You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM. This is Sioux Valley Voice. I'm your host, Philip Manning. Today we'll be discussing, this is the first in a series of shows we're going to be doing leading up to the Mat-Su Borough elections in October. We'll be interviewing all of the candidates for Assembly District 7, as well as Mat-Su Borough Mayor here on Sioux Valley Voice. Our first guest is Randall Kowalke, who is running for Assembly Seat 7. Mr. Kowalke, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Philip.
So, to get us started, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've lived in the area, and a little bit about your background.
Well, I have, since 1975, when I originally came to Alaska, been in Alaska 20 years during that period. Most recently returned in 2009, have been living in the Willow area since then. My background, I had essentially three careers, one early one in the wood products industry in Oregon. The other following that was the oil industry in Alaska. I was heavily involved in that industry. And then I thought I went into retirement, but got involved into fiber optics, which was another career. So okay. I've been generally an executive and business manager.
Okay. And so why? What prompted your run for the assembly?
Well, nature abhors a vacuum. And Vern Halter, who I believe has done a wonderful job serving our district for the last 6 years, had termed out. Vern was not going to be able to run again. And so I decided to throw my hat in the ring. I have an interest in seeing that we continue the progress that Vern started.
Okay. And what do you see? What progress do you see that Mr. Halter's made?
Well, I believe he's been working hard on representing the north end of this district. He has been involved in helping get a community center going in Trapper Creek. He's been an ally on the borough and working to try to get to a solution for the water and sewage issues here and a number of other things. And I think there's some big steps left to be taken, and I'm up for that battle.
And I guess before we go any further, I should say if you are listening live between 10 and 11 on Wednesday morning, you are welcome to call in and join the conversation. The number to call if you'd like to do so is 733-1200, or we'll also be checking the DJ at ktna.org email account. I guess we should point out the boundaries of District 7. What can you kind of describe for the listeners? Because I'm not sure I even have it completely straight, so...
Well, I didn't either until about a week ago. I knew that the borough was 25,200 square miles. That's a published number. I checked with Alex Strawn at the borough offices and got the answer back that my district is 18,500 square miles, and I would be 42 on a list of states.
Okay. So it's sizable. So it goes all the way down to, like, Meadow Lakes area and then up past almost all the way to Cantwell, right?
Yeah, it goes up to the borough boundary line on the north and then includes Meadow Lakes in the south.
And stretches significantly to the east as well, though not a lot of folks out there.
No, and we include Squintna.
Okay, right, right, where there are some folks who hopefully, at least last time I checked, do receive our signal. So, okay, and so if you were elected, what sort of, you've talked a little bit about continuing the progress. What would be on your priority list if you were to be elected in October?
Water and sewage treatment issue, and I can elaborate more on that, but kind of going down the list, I would like to address what I believe is bed tax inequity. There's a great amount of bed tax being collected here in this area, and it leaves this area, and it may be the part of a solution to some of the other issues we're facing.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more. You mentioned water and sewer. Of course, there is if anybody who listened to the news this morning, there are continuing problems with the sewer and water system here in Talkeetna. The public works staff has been doing some work on it, but there are still some issues persisting. So that's one side of the issue. The other is septage in the borough as a whole and how septage is treated in all of the unincorporated areas of the borough. Right now, you know, a lot of it ends up in Anchorage, and that is not necessarily, in a lot of people's eyes, that's not a tenable long-term solution going forward. What do you see as the, as not just within this district, but the borough as a whole, what needs to happen there?
We need to take care of our own septage, and there's movement afoot within the borough currently to roll forward. The city of Anchorage has on a number of occasions suggested that that isn't a long-term acceptable relationship. I think obviously we need to start with the density in the metro areas and work out.
Right.
I don't see where I live at mile 80 having a septage system probably in my lifetime, but we need to start to address that problem because it's got to be dealt with.
Right. Okay. So in addition, so after handling sewer and water, both or trying to address the sewer and water issue here and bed tax, what you say bed tax inequity, what would be next? Not just necessarily for this district. Well, I guess you could say, so what would be your next priority for this area and then for the borough as a whole? Because both of the things you mentioned do deal heavily with this area.
Well, the items within this with us in this area specifically, I think, as hard as your district representative works, it's an out of sight, out of mind thing, as I've noticed. If you look at the map and we were describing our district, the borough assembly is made up substantially of Palmer-centric folks. And I live at Mile 80. I attend a community church in Talkeetna. I will not lose sight of this end of the borough. So I think as it relates to that, I think that captures a bunch of ongoing items. I'm available. I'm here. I meet people. Okay. I attend the meetings. The borough in general, I would really like to see embrace the monetization of the port. We've got a ton of money sunk into that. We need to have it bringing in revenue. I know this isn't a universally popular position, but I'm for the Kubota Bridge. I think that'll open up Anchorage, bring folks in, the rail extension, the things that can help us do the development and the economic development that'll broaden our tax base and help everybody, including Anchorage.
Right. So actually, let's talk a little bit about the port and the bridge and the rail extension. You know, right now, just recently, the governor freed up the funding, the pre-existing funding for the Kinnickarm Crossing that had been frozen earlier this year. As that's going forward, do you see it as realistic that the state's going to be able to secure the federal loans that they're trying to go for in order to be able to build that?
I think it's going to take a combination of money pools, one of which is the one you just described. I think there will be federal money. I think we need to take a look at some long-term bonding. I was talking to a local businessman here whose name I won't use, but here in Talkeetna, who told me he would be willing to pay a $40 toll each direction because of the amount of time and money it would save him. So I think if we're able to package this together with all the working parts with our congressional delegation, that we can make this happen.
Okay. And so as for the port itself, Port McKenzie, right now, it's run as an enterprise fund, which means that no tax money is allowed to directly go to it. It's supposed to kind of take care of itself, and that hasn't been happening of late. It is generating some revenue, but it's a far cry from what it costs to actually maintain the facilities and run them. What do you anticipate as being the economic driver there? Do you see additional shipping coming? There's been a little bit of talk about LNG there, not the big gas line, but LNG plants and things like that. What do you see as the future there?
It'll be a combination. Project that I think is most likely to happen soon is the REI Japanese project, and as I understand, they're prepared to spend $1 billion there at the port. Of course, shipping is increasing. I was at the last assembly meeting, and the report was that we that we are getting more traffic in there. I recognize the enterprise fund situation. I think we're going to need to look creatively if it's a case of letting an asset dwindle away for the lack of the oxygen to keep it breathing. I'm for giving it, finding a creative solution to give it that oxygen to step out of the situation that it's in. So I think we need a review of that. And, of course, as it relates to that, if we still have that ferry when I'm in office, my recommendation is to scrap it. Mm-hmm. We've got, as what my son calls secret squirrel electronics on that vessel. And we can't sell it to a foreign government without thousands and thousands of dollars of removal, and it needs to end, and we can't afford the clock ticking and that going on. Okay. Hopefully the current assembly will be able to find a buyer, but that's kind of related to the port question as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. My guest today on Sioux Valley Voice is Randall Kowalke, who is running for District 7 of the Mat-Su Borough Assembly. If you want to join the conversation, the number to call is 733-1200, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org. So you mentioned, you know, we talked about the Kinnickarm Bridge and Port McKenzie and the rail spur. Now, I guess the port's already there, but the other two are infrastructure projects that are either in progress or in planning. With the budget issues that the state is looking at going forward, every year the Borough Assembly puts together a list of legislative priorities that they then send to Juneau and say, okay, this is what we as a borough want. Obviously, I would imagine those two things would be on your list, but what else would be there?
I think those would be the top two, and beyond that, I don't know down the line what else. Obviously, we've discussed the septic situation, money that we could get for that. As I look into Talkeetna, I would like to see if there's any possible way we can get some state help for this water and sewage treatment plant. We haven't talked about that at great length, but it's needs more than a Band-Aid. And so far, that's all that appears to me that's been applied here. So I think as I got into the throes of working this, those would be the items that I would focus on.
So also related to the state, you know, right now, the estimated shortfall on revenue is somewhere in the $3.5 to $4 billion range, depending on whose estimates you take and then what the price of oil ends up being as those tax revenues are coming in. And it's not anticipated to be any better next year. In fact, we were just hearing yesterday that oil has dropped again. So if that has already put revenue sharing in dire risk, but potentially operating and capital budgets all around for all statewide operations, everything from the state troopers to schools to the money that goes to public broadcasting. As those cuts potentially continue, what do you see is the borough's role in filling in some of those services? Obviously not public broadcasting, but things like, you know, the education funding, public safety. Right now, the Mat-Su Borough doesn't have police power. Is that something you see potentially becoming necessary?
I think as it relates to police powers, that would be a large discussion that would take a long time to develop. What I see in the shorter term is the primary external source of money, other than property taxes, comes from the state. Mm-hmm. So if that money isn't there, I don't think the borough itself is going to have the largesse to reach out and do a lot with these other areas. I plan to work with our congressional or our state delegation on the trooper issue. I live in the area. I know what happened here and in other areas. So I want to press that, but I think we need to fall back to what is our responsibility as a borough government, and it's public safety and education. And to me, that includes fire, police, if we have to assist or contract in some way to make things happen. And I think septic and some of the rest of this touch on the public safety portion. So those would be my priorities. I was at the Governor's Sustainability Conference on Friday, I guess a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. That number was in the neighborhood, I think, 2.9 to 3 billion at that time of the discussion. And, of course, this morning, the oil's at 43 a barrel. But what we talked about there was that not a solution, and I was here in 86 when oil hit $10 mm-hmm. a barrel, was not to create a depression out of a potential recession by laying off everybody and having the keys turned in at the bank and all the stuff we went through before. So I would be, and of course this is not a borough decision, but I guess as the state legislator, I'd be more prone to some creative cooperative efforts, which I've not seen a great deal of here lately, and working on some of these solutions. We have some tremendous assets, and I would like to see us leverage those.
Okay. Well, you know, there is a discussion right now at the state level of diversification of the sources of the state's income. Right now, about 90% of it comes from oil taxes and royalties and other oil-based revenues. Recently, at the assembly level, there has been a discussion largely initiated by Assemblymember Sykes from District 1 about potentially diversifying the borough's revenue streams as well. Right now, it's primarily property taxes. Where do you see, any room for diversification, be it through sales tax, user fees, any sort of other revenue stream that the borough could potentially tap into as the state starts running, continues to have the financial issues it does?
Yeah, and I've given a great deal of thought of this, and I don't call it revenue, I call it taxes. I think we need to meet that head on. What I believe ought to happen is that we need to move away from continued addition to property taxes. That would be my last choice. What I would like to see is we have to explore additional taxes as a look at sales tax, a look at some of the user fees to go that direction. And the increase in property taxes would be my last choice.
Okay. You touched on this a little bit earlier with the bed tax issue, but this area of the borough in particular generates a lot of people's personal income through tourism, and it's an ever increasing factor here in the Upper Valley. Depending on whose estimates you look at, anywhere between 200,000 to 300,000 people pass through here from outside every summer. Do you see a way to tap into that as a revenue stream?
Well, yeah, I think certainly if you had a possibly even a seasonal sales tax, something of that nature. But I'm a 100% proponent of tourism. I answered the Convention and Visitors Bureau questionnaire yesterday, and I think they'll vouch for that. But and I also related to that spent about an hour and a half with one of the local experts on fish, which play a whole large role into our tourism industry up here. But yeah, I think there's some ways to possibly tap the tourist visitors on this. We're asking that the community provide them water and a toilet that flushes. So I think we need to maybe look at cause or pays type of thing and to do something like that. I have no ideas fleshed out, but that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. If you want to join in on the conversation, the number to call is 733-1200. My guest today is Randall Kowalke, candidate for District 7 of the Mat-Su Borough Assembly. So as we're talking, we're talking revenue, we're talking about the state, we're talking about the borough, both of which are looking at some potentially challenging fiscal times ahead. We've talked about potential new taxes there are opportunities for other revenue streams as well, depending on how the borough, through land sales, through other things. Outside of potential taxes or increased user fees, what do you see as the potential for the borough to increase its revenue?
Economic development.
Okay.
In a nutshell, and that brings us back to the port and so on and so forth. And we're circling the wagons on some of the same trails there. But also, I know of one of the native corporations out in the area of the rail spur extension that has ideas and plans. I think if we can build that Kubota bridge and the people who can't afford to live in Anchorage could have a less expensive alternative, each of those new homes generates property taxes. And if there are jobs through development of the port and ancillary related economic projects out there, that's going to be, we're going to grow our way out of this. That's my hope.
So you see the continued growth of the borough as the primary means of, or as the way to generate new income.
Yeah, when you look down the gun barrel on this thing, as the governor was describing, okay, we can tax fish some more. Okay, that would generate $9 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a drop in the bucket to the kinds of, right. You know, when you're dealing in billions. So I think the realistic things that are out there are a very limited basket.
Okay. And actually, you mentioned that sustainability, the governor's, they've got that big Excel spreadsheet that you can plug different numbers into and see if you can balance the state budget. And I've tried it. It's not easy. Not without some significant changes. So, you know, we did come back around to the Kinnickarm Crossing and the rail spur, and those are both big projects. The Kinnickarm Crossing, obviously, probably a bigger project than the rail spur as far as cost. How about, so right now we're in a situation where the Susitna-Watonna Dam is in a holding pattern. They also had their pre-existing funds released. They plan to finish up some studies that were already underway. But the future funding picture is very much up in the air as far as that goes. What do you see? Do you see the potential for, well, how do you feel about the Susitna-Watonna Dam? Let me just boil it down to that.
Is this only a one-hour program?
Yes.
Yeah. Seriously, on the dam, I think what's happening, and I've been digging into this for some time, I think what's happening is that project is being kept alive based on commitments and about federal money. We're in a situation with the ferry where the federal government wants $12 million. Back because we didn't put that ferry into work.
Right.
I think some of the money that was involved in these studies have some connections that this thing kind of needs to be rolling forward. Having said that, this is the wrong dam, the wrong place, the wrong time. When we were setting at $130 oil, and the folks in my area were paying over $4 a gallon for fuel oil. A lot of people were interested in getting cheap electricity.
Sure.
I think that was the origin for that. I know personally that gas line, which was going to bring a less expensive energy to us, has been under discussion since the 80s and,
right.
and maybe before. But I don't believe that we can continue to spend any more state money that we aren't obligated to spend on that dam. And I hope that answers that question.
Okay. So you mentioned the gas line, which is, of course, Governor Walker. That was one of his big platforms as far as getting him in his gubernatorial campaign. And at this point, there are studies going on. The gas line would run through the KTNA listening area, at least as the plans currently are, through the Trapper Creek area. And what do you see as the borough's role as this project goes forward?
Lobbying for the least impactful route, I think it would be. And I'm not sure that's even one, because the other number one candidate is access to that. I've looked at both the ASAP line when it was being considered and the LNG line. In fact, I'm on the gas line committee for Waco, so we've been monitoring these things. But there was a scenario where they were going to build a $1 billion plant at Prudhoe Bay to treat the gas, get the pressure at a level where the ability to tap it down the line would be a lot less expensive. I think the current scenario would require $250 million takeoff points. That's what the construction would cost for that. And then part of the rub there continues that this whole scheme with the state line is to build that line for the least amount of money to generate the greatest profits for the state of Alaska.
Sure.
So then you get in cross purpose if you say, well, gee, I want it to come out at Point McKenzie and I want these drop-off points. And that substantially runs up the cost.
Mm-hmm.
So the general state doesn't benefit as much. So then the discussion becomes, who's going to make those decisions? And so I would like to see the borough as a serious stakeholder, which they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we'll have a place at the table in these discussions. But that's the, in my area, I look at this, and it won't be in my lifetime. They're not going to run the infrastructure to mile 80, but they can make that available. I think the quickest way to get fairly inexpensive gas to some of the areas is through the REI project, which
okay.
is happening out of the port. And so I'm kind of excited about that. But I think hopefully we'll get an advisory role in those decisions.
And, you talk about access to cheaper energy, cheaper heating, things like that. There's another aspect to that, too, potentially, and that's revenue for the borough as well. You look at things like the oil pipeline, and there's discussion there that there are municipalities and boroughs that do receive direct income based on the value of that and the property value through taxes. There is there room for something like that for the portion of the gas line that runs through the Mat-Su?
I don't know the answer to that. I know when I was heavily involved in the industry, the number at that time was like $500 million a year to the North Slope Borough for mm-hmm. for the Prudhoe Bay installations. But again, we're back to the equation. If we work hard to increase the cost of that pipeline, the rest of the citizens of the state suffer for it as far as the profitability. So I think that's going to be a delicate balance.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we've got time. Well, let's do a little recap here. This is Sioux Valley Voice on KTNA, Talkeetna 88.9 FM. My guest today is Randall Kowalke, candidate for District 7's Borough Assembly seat. District 7, of course, includes the KTNA terrestrial listening area. We're going to take a quick break here in just a moment. If you want to join in on our conversation, the number to call is 733-1200, or you can email us dj@ktna.org, and we will be right back. You are listening to KTNA 88.9 FM. This is the second half of Sioux Valley Voice for Wednesday, August 12th. My guest is Randall Kowalke, candidate for Mat-Su Borough Assembly District 7, which does include the KTNA listening area. And, you know, we touched on this earlier in the show about the size of District 7 and the different kinds of communities that are represented. You know, you mentioned that you're on the Gas Line Committee for Waco, the Willow Area Community Organization, basically the equivalent of a community council, if that's fair to say.
Correct.
So with the number of different communities, you've got parts of Meadow Lakes, you've got Houston, Squintna, as you mentioned earlier, Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, Sunshine. How do you balance, and we were talking during the break about, you know, some of the tensions that exist when it comes to big projects, especially like the gas line. How do you balance the different desires of various areas of the district when it comes time to represent all of them at the borough level?
Yeah, it's very much like being a state senator or some other equivalent office. Frequently, they're not at cross purposes. The Trapper Creek current issues have a lot to do with Oil Well Road. Meadow
right.
Lakes has transportation items they're concerned about. Houston has their own set of dynamics, which are primarily supporting the economic development. So I kind of line those up. And as the borough interfaces, you know, helping Oil Well Road isn't going to have any interest or impact on mm-hmm. on Meadow Lakes, for example. Now, where you come in is if you have $20 to spend and you have six of these communities all needing it, then I think my fallback position is what is our mission? And if our mission is education, public safety, those have to be drivers in that decision.
Okay. And I think we did get a call there that we weren't quite able to get to. So whoever that caller was, if you want to call us back, 733-1200, we'll gladly incorporate you into the show here and whatever question you have. So, you know, we've talked a lot about infrastructure. And a lot of the time, at least infrastructure in this area, you know, we've talked about the sewer and water system quite a bit. That was built with federal funding largely. A lot of different projects, you get capital funding for things like roads and projects like schools and that sort of thing. What often falls by the wayside is the plan going funding for the plans going forward and for the maintenance. And we've also mentioned the ferry, which I think is the most expensive free boat that I've heard of, at least. So where does the balance lie between accepting that funding for capital projects and that sort of thing that comes either from federal highway funding or from state funding without getting into the trap of not having enough money to maintain it?
Well, I think this ferry has been an unfortunate but useful object lesson in this scheme. It was a time when there was a lot of money. We had Senator Ted working for us in Washington,
sure.
And all of that came about. I think it's critical that the local people pay attention, get involved, stay mm-hmm. engaged, and when we're going to do this $400 million project in Caswell, we need to find out, can we afford it? Can we afford to maintain it, not just the original expenditures, but what's this look like? We're working on a library feasibility study in Willow, and we've got those built-in costs in it. So we know, based on the best projections, that it is going to be something that we're going to have to deal with for the next 20 to 30 years, and that's in our understanding at this point.
Okay. We do. Oh, looks like we lost. I thought I had a caller on the line, and I hit the hybrid, and then they were gone again. So sorry about that. If you do want to join in the conversation, the number call is 733-1200. We do have AJ in there answering the phones, and you can ask your question to Randall Kowalke, who is running to represent this area in the Mat-Su Borough Assembly. You know, in addition to, let's see, this year on the borough election ballot, there's three assembly seats, the borough mayor, three school board seats, and two ballot questions as well. One of those is is to turn the election for school board members, which is currently at large, into districts similar to the way that the assembly is divided up. How do you feel about that?
I absolutely support that. I don't know why you would locate your or elect your borough representatives by a district and then not do the same with the school board. I think that's kind of a no-brainer.
Okay.
Regarding the other item, I had been 100% in favor of moving the election dates.
Right, that is the other one, moving it from October, where it is now, to match the state and federal dates in November.
I have now changed my view.
Okay.
With examination and study on that, and certainly the borough clerk did not take a position, but I asked questions,
mm-hmm.
and I think we're fraught with a lot of problems. I was not aware that the same poll watchers couldn't work for both the state and the borough.
Really?
So on election day, we got this set of poll watchers, and we got this set of poll watchers. As I understand it, they can't use the same voting machines, and the clerk's office has a difficult enough time just getting the election staffed as it is. And there's a number of other items, and I thought with great interest, or observed with great interest, that the city of Anchorage, who had combined those elections, mm-hmm. just recently unbundled them. I don't know exactly why. I want to try to find out what their reasoning was.
Sure.
But I'm not so excited about that date as I combined date as I once was.
Okay. So, yeah, I was actually unaware of that issue. Now, from what the clerk said, is that a state law, federal law?
I don't know what kind of a legislation that would need to be changed to accommodate this,
right.
But it's existing either ordinances or state legislation which would have to be changed to allow these things to happen.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't aware of that. One issue that didn't make it to this year's ballot because it ran out of time to get the signatures started a little bit late was an initiative, a petition in. Dealing with commercial marijuana in the Mat-Su Valley. Now, of course, as most listeners will know, the state legalized through voter initiative the recreational use of marijuana, but each municipality is being allowed to determine within its own borders how that gets dealt with on the commercial level. And going forward, do you see room for a commercial marijuana industry in the Mat-Su Valley, or is that something that you'd rather see not brought in?
Well, I think that decision has been made and that the voters supported that initiative. I'm not clear on the initiative that didn't make it. I guess had it made it, I'd have given it more study, but how it was going to break out.
Well, basically, it was one of the current borough mayor, Larry DeVilbiss, was one of the folks that was in favor of it, and it was basically to disallow any commercial cultivation, sale, testing, basically anything that had to do with the commercial production, refining, or sale of marijuana in the valley.
So essentially then that an initiative was to turn around with the folks that already decided, it sounds like. I mean,
Under that, people would still be able to grow their own because that's the state law. But yeah, you wouldn't see any sort of retail establishment set up.
Well, back to our tax questions. If the voters are supporting that and it's the law of the land, I want to see us monetize it. I think we need to tax it.
Okay.
And I think that's one of those potential revenue sources. I'm not sure. I need to go and look at the mayor's initiative, I guess, if you will, and find out more of the details before I run off here into left field.
But, sure.
But if we're going to have that business, I want to see it taxed properly.
Okay. My guest today on Sioux Valley Voice is Randall Kowalke, candidate for District 7 of the Mat-Su Borough Assembly. The number to call if you want to join us is 733-1200, or you can send an email, dj@ktna.org. So we've talked a lot about the issues facing the borough and the state, fiscal infrastructure, that sort of thing. You know, you mentioned that you're running for a seat that is going to be left vacant because of term limits. You've given some praise to Vern Halter for the work he's done. The borough as a whole, what do you think at this point in time the borough is doing well?
Collaborating.
Okay. With whom?
With each other.
Okay.
I know I've been attending for months You know, and I guess I'm putting this label out there. I'm not asking that these people have to identify themselves as such, but we have some conservative members of the Assembly, and we have some more liberal members. And as I watch the budget process and the difficulty and stress that that generated, these votes were 7-0. Mm. And the when the mayor issued his 7 vetoes, 6 of those succeeded with that kind of a
were overridden.
Yes, yeah. overridden. The overrides succeeded by those kind of votes, and I find as a candidate that I'm frequently asked about party and beliefs and where I am. But the closer you get to grassroots politics, to local politics, I really believe we need to be nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. I can see myself being described as a liberal by an action. I would have voted, for instance, to support the override on the SART money for the rape victims. Mm. Conversely, I would have voted for the override of the Clay target shooting. So now I'm a right-wing gun guy. So, but I think in reality that if you're doing the right job for your people, you can't drink a Kool-Aid of an ideological single view or single party. So back to your question, it's cooperation. I think they're doing very well.
And that's on the Assembly level?
Yes, sir.
Now, with that same question reversed, what is the Assembly not doing as well at this point as you think they should?
Well, I would like to see us thinking through maybe some of these things. And I realize I was at these meetings under a great deal of pressure, but we ended up with a landfill increase that was, in my opinion, rather draconian. And I was there and watched it happen, and I don't think anybody had an ounce of ill intent or desire to bring harm. But a pickup went from $14 in 2014 to $22 in 15 to $45.
$45, yeah.
And the next Assembly meeting, I believe that's going to be unwound and brought back to the...
Sounds likely, based on what I've heard.
It appeared like it was going to be 7-0 when I was last there. But I think to maybe slow down, if that budget process needs more than the time that's allotted to it, that it start earlier... that more information is available. So I think while I speak very well of the current Assembly, I think we need to maybe take more time with the budget and more analysis prior to acting.
Okay. We do have about 15 minutes left in the show. My guest today is Randall Kowalke, candidate for Mat-Su Borough Assembly, seat number 7. The number to call if you want to join in is 733-1200, or I'm also checking dj@ktna.org. If you want to send us an email instead, or actually there's a post on our Facebook page that you could comment on with a question as well, and I would be happy to pass that along. So as we're, your opponent in this race is also from Willow, Doyle Holmes. He's actually going to be our guest next week on the show. And one of the things recently, and it came up in the budget discussion, is there was quite a bit of contention within the community of Willow with regard to the fire service area and the mill rate increase that did ultimately go through. And you and your opponent found yourselves on opposite sides of that debate. What do you see? Well, I guess to explain for some of the listeners who might not have been following that as closely, the mill rate for the fire service area in Willow was slated for a significant increase by Assemblymember Halter, and there was contention. Some folks wanted it put to a vote. Some wanted a smaller increase. Where did you end up falling on that debate? I'll let you explain for yourself, and then why.
I supported Assemblyman Halter's rate, which was 2.75. I had been attending the Fire Board service area meetings for 3 years, I think, without fail. I may have missed 2 or 3 meetings during that time. What some of the history on that rate was that back when Mr. Holmes was an assemblyman earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He and Jim Norcross, who's the road service area guy, worked out a deal where the fire rate, mill rate, was cut by some amount, and then that like amount was passed along and increased on the road service
on the RSA.
Area. So that both of those gentlemen could then come to the community and say, we're doing these good things for you, and we haven't raised your taxes. And I suppose that was true, I mean, based on how that happened. What that did was put a handicap then in our fire mill rate. And even though it was allowed to grow at some amount through succeeding years, we weren't getting where we needed to be. We were running in the red, and it had been a serious issue. We needed to get that rate up where we could sustain our fire service area. We had some new stations coming online, mm-hmm. based to the efforts of our state delegation, who had been successful in helping us. And part of this fell out, I think, the real contention over the Nancy Lake fire
right.
station. And what happened there was that we'd had a $600,000 grant from the state to build the station at Nancy Lake, and that would include water storage. We were going to place that on 5 acres of land provided to us by the borough. After the grant was awarded, we learned that the borough had mistakenly sold this property at some time in the past, and I'm not sure the details why or when. So we then had a discussion primarily led by Mr. Holmes that we should take $200,000 or some amount out of that grant and buy land with it. And that's where we departed, because I understood from Senator Dunleavy's office that that was the amount of money that we needed for the building, and if you start taking away from the building, how does that work out? We then became aware that we could get an interest-free loan from the borough to purchase property. We found a piece of property that the construction cost was $89 a foot, and I don't know where you can get anything done for $89 a foot. The owner of that land wanted it to go to the fire department because he was had a longtime community resident.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the battle started. And it got to the point where while the deal was trying to be worked out, Mr. Holmes contacted the realtor involved and even tried to buy the building out from underneath the fire department. So to say that there was some rancor and disagreement on this would be an understatement. I respect the desire not to increase taxes, but I think the recent Sockeye event speaks to why we need fire protection, and that fire started within a mile and a half of my house.
And that is, you know, the timing of that was quite interesting. That right, you know, a month or so after all of that discussion happened, then we have the Sockeye fire. Speaking of the Sockeye fire, there are a lot of folks in Willow who, of course, had their homes destroyed. Many others had their homes significantly damaged or their property significantly damaged. Thankfully, no loss of life, but human life at least. So what do you see is the borough's role going forward in helping those folks?
Well, I think the borough needs to be a player, obviously, and I think the role that they can play is primarily as a coordinator. I've talked to folks who can't find, how do I get on this form and fill out this place and get back to this group, and the state is in there as well. And I think, and I believe it is in fact happening that the borough is facilitating through that effort. Regarding some of the other related topics, we have a number of roads. There was recently, last weekend, there was a bluegrass festival at the end of Sockeye, which is where the fire started. There's one way in and one way out. If another fire starts back in there, people couldn't get out. Hidden Lakes, where at the end of that road is the Caswell Fire Station. Again, it's another one trail. Pony on that. We can't get out of there. So I'd like to see the borough, and particularly in the planning department, looking at some of those things to be involved in helping prevent future disasters. I think the community is pulling together and doing a lot of wonderful things to help the people. There were 55 homes and 44 structures that burnt, and we lost a number of dogs. That was the right. life that was lost there.
Exactly. That's why I had to make sure to clarify that. And there has been a great deal of community level fundraising. I know there's been at least a little bit done here in the Talkeetna area as well. So the borough's role there is now, when you say, you know, coordinating and getting people in touch, you're talking about for state disaster relief?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What about, and I know this is something that's already in effect, at least for this year, but property tax relief for those people?
Clearly, it has to happen. I know folks who have, 60 acres, and if you've got 40 of that in burnt black spruce, the property's not worth as much as it was.
Sure.
And I know the borough is moving in that direction.
Right. Okay. Well, we've got about 10 minutes left here in the show, but still some time. If somebody wants to give us a call, the number is 733-1200. The guest today is Randall Kowalki, who's running for Matsu Borough Assembly, and who, if elected, would represent the KTNA listening area, as well as some area to the south and to the east. So we've covered quite a bit of ground, but one thing we haven't talked about in detail yet is education. You mentioned that is one of your priorities, along with public safety. Right now, the Matsu Borough, at least from what I've heard, Matsu Borough School District receives a lot of praise for offering offering different types of education. You know, there's vocational programs, there's different types of schools and programs that exist. How in a time of fiscal uncertainty for the state, how do we maintain that?
Well, I think we tighten the belt, and of course, and then we get into this discussion. Well, we can cut, but we don't want to cut muscle, and all these other euphemistic
sure.
Discussions that you get into. But I think as the water level in our lake drops, that's one of the things that we have to hang on to is our quality education. I have two grandsons in the Matsu Borough School System, and I can't say anything but how excellent I believe it is. I talked to Dr. Donna Dearman, who actually is a Talkeetna resident
mm-hmm.
frequently,
and school board member,
and school board member, about the needs and where we're headed. And I don't think anybody doesn't see the problem that we have. It isn't like it's isolated in the fog, that everyone's aware of
right.
it. And I'm expecting, again, a collaborative effort of what do we have and what could we not have if this continues and the revenues continue to decline.
Okay, I think I've successfully managed to, we did get a call just now. I think I've managed to patch it through. This is KTNA. Who's this?
This is Robert.
Hi, Robert. What's your question?
My question is, I've got five items here, and I would like the candidates' priority on these five issues.
Okay.
Public safety, I'd like them prioritized 1 through 5. Public safety, Tabata, sewer and water, education, and the rail line.
Okay. I'm writing them down as well. Okay, so what we've got here is public safety, the Kinnick Arm Bridge, sewer and water, education, and the rail line. Okay, well, thank you, Robert, and we'll... Mr. Kowalki, would you be willing to rank those in priority 1 through 5?
I've got public education, and these aren't the order. I'm just making sure I've got the list. Public education, Kabata, sewer and water, the rail line, and there was one more?
Public safety.
Public safety.
Those are the five I have.
I think I would put those in the order of public education as one. That has the broadest impact specifically for the entire borough. After that, as it relates to Talkeetna and this area, certainly I've got to put sewer and water up there for Houston, borough overall, put Kabata, and Kabata and the rail line to me are essentially one and the same. They need to happen and need to happen at the same time. Certainly, last but not least, is public safety. That's the best I can do on a gunshot question
sure.
here. But I would like to point out to the listener that I don't believe that we can only do one of these at a time. I don't believe that they have to be mutually exclusive. I want to work with our state delegation on getting public safety, our troopers, back where they belong, or at least where I believe they belong. I don't know why I can't be working on that at the same time I'm trying to help get Kabata in. I want to see the water and sewage treatment issue here in Talkeetna being worked on. So I apologize for hedging on this, but I don't believe that I can't be doing more than one thing at a time.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got just a few minutes left in the program today. As we get ready to close out here, you know, we're just under 2 months away from the election. So if you were to sum up your platform, your position as a candidate, if you give what I call the elevator pitch, what is Randall Kowalke's elevator pitch for Borough Assembly?
I want to be a collaborative member of the Assembly. I want to work together with all communities and all interest groups. Ultimately, a decision has to be made. I hope that the people who have gotten to know me as the campaign has gone on would recognize my character. And I'm going to do the best I can for the most amount of people for the most times. And I realize that's an elevator speech, but it's truly where I'm at. I don't want to see any fractious, chaotic sessions like we had in the 80s at the Assembly and in the 90s. Mm. I want a group working together to be about solving our problems. Whoever's elected is who the people represented, and we need to work together.
Okay. And so what are your plans for the remainder of the campaign, the 7 weeks or so that's left?
As we've discussed with the size of my district, there's three critical meetings happening on the same Thursday night.
Sure.
So, and from one end of the borough to the other. So I have been running where there's an ongoing issue. I spent a little more time in Houston as they were working on their budget.
Which is a whole different can of worms.
Well, and they weren't able to sell fireworks, right, wrong, or indifferent, and so their revenue has been a drag.
Sure.
So I'm paying attention to those things. But it's just a matter of continuing to run the race. Essentially from Trapper Creek to Meadow Lakes and stay engaged.
Okay. I guess we do have a little bit of time left. We're talking about having potentially having you and your opponent both in here at the same time as we get closer to the election date, but we'll keep listeners posted if we're able to make that work as a scheduling-wise. That is just about all of the time we've got today on Sioux Valley Voice. My guest has been Randall Kowalke, candidate for Mat-Su Borough Assembly District 7, which represents the KTNA listening area and beyond. If you missed any of the show or would like to listen again, Sioux Valley Voice will rebroadcast at 7. I actually just received an email asking a couple of questions that were answered earlier in the show, so you can tune in at 7 o'clock and hear that or listen online anytime at ktna.org. Join us next week, next Wednesday at 10 a.m. My guest will be a Borough Assembly candidate, Doyle Holmes, who is also running for District 7. Until then, I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.